said Saturday night, that means it's time for the Don Tony Show.
The wait all week long is finally over. Get Don Tony's perspective on current affairs in the world of pro wrestling and much more. The Don Tony Show.
And now, your host, the man, the legend, Don Tony.
It's raining men. Hallelujah. It's raining men. Have you seen the weather here in New York the last couple of days? We got a state of emergency going on. I kid you not. I almost feel like I got to use an umbrella inside the house. Man, you know, Sandy, Hurricane Sandy, we're approaching, I think, the 11-year anniversary. Yeah, 11 years. Because I believe it or not, I actually met my wife about 2-3 weeks before Sandy hit. So we had a pretty interesting beginning to our relationship. But the last couple of days, and it's raining freaking right now. But I hope the worst is over. And my thoughts are with everybody, all my homeboys in New York. I've lived in New York my entire life, and I have a crazy amount of friends here, close, not so close, and I know a lot of them got some major damage. Me, I'm not going to lie, I escaped most of it, because where if you remember the video when I was in front of my house dressed as Deli Man a couple of years ago when I did this, if you look at the video, you see how far off I am from the street. The street was flooded. But luckily, because I'm, 150, 200 feet in, I did not get flooded. My parents had a little bit of water damage, you know, nothing too much, you know, to be really, you know, crazy about. But I know a lot of people out there are really dealing with a lot of problems right now. We even had a power outage overnight for probably about a half an hour, because I woke up and the clocks were all blinking, and I'm like, what time is it? So anyway, enough of that. We are here because we got a lot of wrestling discussion to get into. A couple of tidbits that you're going to hear primarily here first, and then it'll circulate everywhere else. Last week, we talked about Roman Reigns returning in 2 weeks, the week after Fastlane, when Solo Sikoa and Jimmy Uso fail to take out John Cena and LA Knight. Yeah, that is pretty much set and ready to go. Roman Reigns will return on the October 6th, I believe. I think it's the 6th. Well, the week after Fastlane, he's returning. So, and here's a little tidbit. I know we'll jump in a little ahead, but let you all know right now, as of right now, WWE is planting the seeds for Roman Reigns versus LA Knight. And if you remember our discussion last week, you know, if LA Knight was recovered enough to return to SmackDown last night, and he did, which was very, very cool. We knew on Monday that he was feeling a lot better. And remember, you know, the timeline, you know, 3 years ago, COVID was a much different animal. It's still deadly for a lot of people, make no mistake about it. But the strain now, especially, I don't know if LA Knight was vaccinated or not, but the strain now is a lot different than what it was back then. And when he tested positive, when he showed up at SmackDown last week, that doesn't mean that he caught COVID that day. He could have had COVID the entire week. And because that was the first COVID test he took all week, that's when he found out about it. By Sunday, he pretty much was feeling almost back to normal. In fact, like I told you, a few people behind the scenes were a little bit surprised. He was surprised that he tested positive for COVID. Just thought he was just a little bit under the weather, the sniffles. But Roman Reigns versus LA Knight, they are planning it. And as of right now, it looks like it could happen in Saudi Arabia, but that is not etched in stone, and I'll tell you why. When I was asking a few people that I know, you know, when do they plan on LA Knight versus Roman Reigns, one of those matches that they wanted to do was based on the fact that we know Roman Reigns is not dropping the championship between now and WrestleMania. And listen, when you have a title reign, it kind of sucks when you know the person has no plans or there's no chance of that person losing the championship before a certain date. You know, sure, anything could happen, injury, something else, and, you know, plans change. But, you know, to know that Roman Reigns is going to keep that title all the way to WrestleMania, it kind of takes away that suspension of disbelief. You know, people, listen, WWE did a decent job when it came to Sami Zayn and Elimination Chamber early in the year. There were a lot of people that were convinced that Sami was going to get the belt. Clash at the Castle. I honestly thought that was Drew McIntyre's night, and it didn't happen. So now, since you know that WrestleMania 40, Roman is going to take on Cody, how do you boost interest, you know, or the suspension of disbelief that Roman could lose it beforehand? You really can't. You really can't. You could have millions of people on the net try to convince WWE leading into Saudi Arabia or Survivor Series that, you know, give the belt to LA Knight. Roman could regain it before WrestleMania and Cody could still finish the story. No, it's not happening. Here's the thing that I was told about LA Knight versus Roman Reigns in Saudi Arabia. And this may sound strange to some of you out there, but it's definitely something to think about. And I'll use the Tegan Knox example, okay? I'll use the Tegan Knox example. Remember, not this past Monday's Raw, the Monday before, Becky Lynch was going to come out first time celebrating as NXT Women's Champion, and she wanted to issue an open challenge. This is a fact. I was told this directly, and I don't know if other people reported, but this is a fact. It's nothing against Tegan Knox, but Tegan Knox has not been on TV much at all. She does not generate a big reaction. She's not recognizable to a majority of WWE fans. The last thing that WWE wanted to do after thinking about it was to have Becky Lynch issue an open challenge. Tegan Knox comes out and the crowd doesn't react. That kind of takes the air out of the balloon with Becky's celebration being champion. It kind of takes a little air out of the balloon with Tegan Knox. So they went with Natalya instead. Now, a week later, they had Natty interact with Tegan Knox and Becky Lynch interact with Tegan Knox, and they had her interact the week. So they did that to get her reintroduced to television. And by the time Tegan Knox beat Natalya, crowd enjoyed it. So now when Tegan Knox faces Becky Lynch this Monday, the crowd will be a lot more receptive to Tegan Knox. And you know there's going to be a lot of handshakes. Becky is going to definitely show a lot of love to Tegan Knox, and that is going to be a nice little rub for Tegan Knox and the WWE Universe. Now, we go to Saudi Arabia. This is not a knock on fans in Saudi Arabia, but the idea right now, the vibe is that LA Knight is more over here, you know, like outside of Saudi Arabia. Like, you'll have little kids go, L.A. Knight, yeah. But it may not be the kind of noise that you would hear like last night or other places. And, you know, with all due respect to those elder Saudis that are in attendance, you know, some of them that there's actually quite a few that, you know, don't follow that. Listen, I'm not saying that the Saudi Arabia crowd is not lively. There are events where the Saudi Arabia crowd blows the doors out of even fans in my neck of the woods sometimes. It's just that the hype for LA Knight in Saudi Arabia may not be as much of a priority compared to maybe Survivor Series or you know, another premium live event. So, but they are planning LA Knight. This match with John Cena versus Solo Sikoa and Jimmy Uso is going to be the stepping stone for LA Knight to get a shot at Roman Reigns. remember when, you know, people want to compare him to Steve Austin and want to compare him to The Rock. You know, people got championship opportunities back in the day and lost their first few times around. LA Knight does not need to win the undisputed WWE Universal Championship on his first shot, but it gets him to that next level. LA Knight main eventing is about to begin, and that's pretty damn cool. It's pretty damn cool. Now, we have to talk about the elephant in the room. Adam Copeland, Edge. Now, before I even say that, a couple of quick plugs. If you have not checked out this past Tuesday's edition of the Don, Tony, and Kevin Castle show, download it. DonTony.com. We had 2.5 hours of just tremendous discussion, incredible discussion. And this Tuesday, Kevin and I are going to return for your Fastlane preview and predictions. Same format like we always do. It'll stream live on Patreon for our Patreon family. I don't like to use audience, family. And then it'll be online at DonTony.com for everyone by Wednesday morning. Also, if you have not checked out Wednesday Night Dynamite from this week, definitely check it out. Not only did we have some fun discussion, but we also did predictions for tonight's NXT No Mercy, and we did predictions for Wrestle Dream. I will tell you right now, if you're looking at that thumbnail, I did a little mock of Will Ospreay's tattoo. Sorry, Will. My friends, I'm going to take a little play from a referee in the NFL. After further review, the attendance stands 72,265. What is very interesting is, and I'll mention this briefly here, we don't talk that much AEW on the weekends, but Edge obviously is probably the biggest discussion today that we're going to talk about, and I got some info that I think you'll really appreciate. When we saw that email last week of someone contacting the UK council and getting a reply that the attendance was 85,528, a lot of people were very skeptical about that email. Not necessarily that the email was fake, but what you did not see is you did not see what exactly the Freedom of Information request was. You don't know if the person who contacted the council asked them how many people total were at All In. And if you remember before All In even happened, you remember what I said? If I was AEW, include the security, include the vendors, the hot dog guys, the Cracker Jack guys, the people in the parking lot, anybody, any physical body that has 2 feet, two legs, or, you know, at least one, a penis, a vagina, you know, just anything without fur. Count them. Count them. WWE does it. Count them. So because the number that came in that Tony Khan put out, once it was revealed that, no, that's not actually how many people were in attendance, then suddenly people were trying to figure out, how do we get this number over 80,000? And that was the warning sign right there. When you don't see, listen, I want to make this clear for those that are interested. When you request a Freedom of Information, you know, request through the Freedom of Information Act, whether it's the UK or the United States, and believe me, I have done them over the years. When you complete your request, you are given a case number, a file number, a reference number, whatever you want to call it. You also get to review your request before you submit it. You could save a copy of your request. And what was missing on that email was what exactly was asked. So when that 85,000 number came back, the person went up to, see, that they did even better than 81,000. So unfortunately, a lot of journalists did their job this time around. They went and they actually contacted. And let me tell you something, this council in the UK, they must feel the same way Zaptuit feels. Remember Zaptuit that used to give all the wrestling ratings, and then they stopped a couple of months ago and they said, we're not going to miss the wrestling audience? The wrestling fan base is one of the most weirdest when it comes to numbers. Like, if you're pro AEW, you have to have this feeling that AEW is better than WWE, and it's not just an emotion, it has to be a statistical fact. And on the WWE side as well. It's just a weird scenario. It's weird. And you see people outside of wrestling, they acknowledge it. And I guarantee you this UK council was not happy. Like, the fuck is up with all of these people? It's a fucking event. We didn't see Rihanna's fan club saying, how many people are there in a park on two? How come it's just wrestling that does that? But nothing I say is going to change that. All I could do is give you facts and in some cases spoil the fun, because a lot of people don't want the facts sometimes. Case in point, I see earlier Super Chat came in, and this was something I was going to bring up anyway, but Sticky Fingers Frank, thank you for the five spot. Did I see the TMZ video released of Matt Riddle? Yes, I did. And I have two comments about it. Number one, heavily edited, because TMZ, that's what TMZ does. Not a knock on TMZ, but that's what TMZ does. Number two, go back to my Monday's edition, the post-Raw show, when I gave you the full story of the airport, Bron Breakker, and everything else, and I mentioned alcohol, and I mentioned the layover, and I mentioned the arguments with security, and I mentioned everything else. Nothing new was what came out. So my reaction to it, yeah, I've seen the video, and nothing changes as far as what I talked about. The reason why it's a big story is because most people out there didn't care to hear the truth originally. All they heard was that he was sent home, and WWE told him to stay home because of the incident, which wasn't true. But unfortunately for him and 20-something other people, they had no idea that TKO, you know, Endeavor, WWE, everybody was figuring out who we going to fire, and he was on that list. So nothing changes my mind about that. I will tell you this much, that if you looked at the banner, the thumbnail for this week's show, there is a very strong push to get Matt Riddle in AEW in 2024. His contract isn't up with WWE until the end of December. And remember, Matt Riddle is going to have a child. Him and Misha Montana are having a baby in December. That's his priority right now. That's his focus. But if you pay attention closely to Dave Meltzer, if you remember last week, Dave Meltzer was talking, comparing that WWE management has no anger or resentment towards Matt Riddle. Remember all the reports the last couple of years? WWE management feels Matt Riddle is a problem child. Matt Riddle is this. And then Dave Meltzer comes out and says that the quote was, there's a lot of bad feelings about CM Punk in WWE management, but there's no bad feelings for Matt Riddle in WWE management. Why would you bring up CM Punk's toxicity, alleged, perceived toxicity, with Matt Riddle? Why would you do that? A couple of days ago, on his podcast, he now compares Matt Riddle to John Moxley and is actually saying right now that there is a strong comparison between John Moxley and Matt Riddle, that they both left WWE after being brought down to mid-card status and losing a majority of their matches. You could say that about 20 people that were fucking released. Why would you bring up John Moxley? Maybe the number three guy on TV in AEW. Why? Because the CM Punk bad management references, Matt Riddle could follow the footsteps of John Moxley in 2024. This is the elite media trying to get fans used to the idea of Matt Riddle in AEW. Understand something. Even if Matt Riddle drinks a little bit, there's a lot of wrestlers who also drink a little bit. Just because you think somebody has an addiction doesn't mean they have an addiction. Some of your favorite AEW stars have had incidents not too long ago. One where he totally forgot where he was. Just look up the story, you know what I'm talking about. Alcohol is not illegal. But obviously, if there is some type of issue, you know, then you want to consider staying away from the person. but WWE people as well. WWE, there's a lot of wrestlers that like to go to the bar afterwards. I mean, it is what it is, you know, but you can't mix the two. If you go back and you hear my original story about Matt Riddle, I stand by it. Everything I said was true. It's just that nobody wants to, you know, like, give other people credit for that stuff. So, and plus, it's a gossip piece. People wanted to be convinced that this is why he was sent home, and this is why this happened, and this is why it happened, instead of actually knowing the truth. So, but yeah, that push to get Matt Riddle in AEW is strong. And the more this stays out there, the more fans will start warming up to it. And they'll be like, you know what? Yeah, maybe, you know, this and that. He has a lighter schedule. He doesn't have as much pain. He doesn't have this, that. And you'll see it. But let's talk about Adam Copeland for a few moments. Edge. Wrestle Dream is happening tomorrow. And about 2 months ago, when the discussions were starting to come out about Edge not having a new contract with WWE, he has not signed a new deal as of yet. Rumors started to fly. Could Edge possibly leave WWE to go to AEW? And here's the thing, and we're not going to get into every little detail, but you'll understand why we are at where we are now. When Edge announced that he was going to have his last match against Sheamus, yes, last year he said 2023 would be his last year in wrestling. But in the world of wrestling, you never say never, obviously. Then there was reports that he would retire at WrestleMania. That did not happen. He wanted to return to wrestling. He wanted to perform. He wanted his kids to see him wrestle, everything like that. That's fine. But when we heard, you know, him have the match against Sheamus and it was going to be his last match, that came out of almost nowhere. Remember, not too long ago, he had a pretty damn good match against Grayson Waller. And it's interesting that out of the entire roster in recent months, that Edge would have a match against Grayson Waller, and if I remember correctly, didn't it happen in Madison Square Garden? That was awesome. WWE extremely high on not only Austin Theory, but Grayson Waller. And I have a feeling down the line, you're going to hear Edge sing the praise of Grayson Waller big time. So this is what it comes down to. And I'm going to show you a little teaser that some people did not pay attention to months ago. I didn't pay attention to it, but now people are bringing it up. And, you know, when you put tickets on sale or you have a pre-sale date or, you know, you use code words. Sometimes you'll use a familiar word. You'll use, you know, somebody who's going to main event. But with regards to AEW, to have a little play, this was the pre-sale code for Wrestle Dream tickets. It was EDGR95. And everybody that follows AEW and New Japan Pro Wrestling could not figure out what that stood for. Then people started noticing that the term Rated R Superstar is no longer trademarked by WWE. And people are starting to think, well, you know, one of Edge's old theme songs, White Zombie, which could very well end up being his theme in AEW if he does debut, which all points are leading that way. And the 95 could stand for that, his theme. I think it was his first theme. The EDG is obviously Edge. And the R could be Rated R Superstar. Now, this might be fishing a little bit. This might be a little bit, you know, overthinking. But it is kind of interesting. If he debuts at Wrestle Dream Sunday night, do you think this is too much of a coincidence that, Oh, the stars were aligned that the EDGR 95 was not had nothing to do with Edge, but look, it was fate. It had to happen. No. You know, I do change my mind a little bit when a moth flies into my face when we're covering the passing of Bray Wyatt. And obviously that moment that we talked about Daphne, I mean, yeah, I'm starting to believe into, you know, like weird shit, you know, like that. But this, I think that was done by design. Now, you may say to yourself, DT, wouldn't that be contract tampering? Because WrestleDream when tickets went on sale a while ago. No, not necessarily, but understand too, and I'm going to throw a name out there that nobody is bringing up, and I hope to God we don't get a repeat of it. Because we knew that this person was not debuting in WWE. And you had, remember those wrestling news sites that said, it is a fact, it's happening, this Mercedes Moné is making her WWE debut? Remember those websites out there that it wasn't even a rumor? It's like, you heard it here first. It is confirmed, breaking news. And I think we put, I don't remember what the banner was, but it got a lot of views because, hey, sorry to break it to you, but Mercedes is not debuting in AEW. And this is before any foot injury or anything like that. She ended up going to New Japan. But here's the thing with Edge. This is, please, please, please. When I say this, it's not a knock on Tony Khan. I just want you to understand one of the biggest differences between a publicly traded company and a family-owned company. When it is a publicly traded company, you have to answer to your investors every dollar that you spend. When you are a publicly traded company and you have billions, you could buy what you want, no matter how much you want to pay for it. You know, you see like these movies over the years from Brewster's Millions to others where somebody didn't The Jerk. If you want to go really back, go look at Steve Martin in The Jerk. You know, when Tony Khan has billions and billions of dollars and he does not have to answer to investors, the stock market, the investors are the fans. The investors are the advertisers. The investors are the TV network. But outside of that, I compared it to an eBay auction a while ago. If I go on eBay right now, this is just an example. I have the whole set of these WCW gums. It was a set of like 12 boxes, and you put them together, and it's a puzzle, and it came with a case. This on eBay right now, complete with the case, is about $500. I just happen to have a box on my desk. But when I bid on it, I wanted it, and I bought this probably 5 years ago, and I got into a little bidding war with someone. I ended up paying about $75 for the entire set. Autographs. LA Knight. Yesterday, we did a watch party for SmackDown, and I'm letting the company that runs everything randomly pick a name who showed up yesterday. I don't know who the name is. Whoever it is, they're going to win their choice of either a Gunther, Dominic Mysterio, or an LA Knight signed WWE card. Now, I have a couple of LA Knight cards that I bought probably 8 months ago, 9 months ago, and I paid probably $30 to $40 a card. I went on eBay yesterday to see how much LA Knight autograph cards are going for right now. And if you go on my Twitter, you could see the screenshot of the card we were giving away yesterday. If you go on eBay and you look at the completed auction history, you will see people spending as much as $268 for the same card. LA Knight autograph cards right now, at a minimum, if you get one with no serial number, it's about $80, $90. People will pay. If they want something bad enough, they will pay whatever it takes to get it. Of course, some people, you know, have their limitations. But I was told directly from a friend of mine that works within AEW that honestly isn't a no in a lot of things. And listen, this is not a bragging thing. This is not, I have all for, it's a point that somebody who, you know, is involved enough and knows, and a lot of people within AEW, this is the buzz. This is the discussion. A lot of people that work within AEW that are wrestlers are getting paid 2-3 times the amount of money they were making before they signed with AEW. Tony Khan can pay whatever he wants if he wants something bad enough. And Edge, Tony Khan, I was told the word that was used to me was Tony Khan made Edge a lucrative offer. Lucrative offer. He wants Edge and Christian to have history in AEW. He wants Edge, Christian, and the Hardys to have history in AEW. I am no way, shape, or form comparing Adam Copeland to Hulk Hogan or anybody else. But in the 90s, Eric Bischoff wanted to recreate matches that happened in WWF. You know, other promotions would want to recreate matches. TNA wanted to recreate matches that were done in other companies. One, because it has a track record of being successful. But two, it's a memory. It's history under his banner. So Tony Khan made a lucrative offer to Adam Copeland to join AEW. He made him an offer that it appears he could not refuse. Understand, when Edge announced a year or so ago that he was 2023 is going to be his last year, a lot of people like, why make that announcement? Like, if your body is that broken down, you know, you have the Undertaker schedule. You know, why close a chapter of what was predominantly your whole life? That is your first love. You know, you got family. Like, why would you close that chapter when he's still young enough that he could still do it once in a while? When he had the match against Grayson Waller, you realize he still could go. The match against Sheamus, you realize he could still go. When you hear people say, remember Edge afterwards, you know, oh, I have to ice down and everything like that. A lot of wrestlers have to do that. You know, so my point is, if you want to compare Edge going to AEW, you know what I compare it to? I compare it to Scott Hall, Kevin Nash. No, Edge is not an outsider. They're not doing an outsider storyline. My point is this. In 1995, when Scott Hall, especially Scott Hall, got an offer from WCW, he went to Vince and said, just match it. Just match it and I'll stay. Unfortunately, WWE is a publicly traded company and is now under new ownership. Now, I don't know the dollar amount that Edge was offered. Anybody out there that tells you that they know are lying to you, because the only people that know that is management, Edge, and his family and his accountant. That number is not going to circulate. I've heard $5 million. I've heard, you know, multiple years, you know, with a contract, you know, option years. I will not put any credence in any dollar amount, but let's use $5 million as an example. Just use it as an example. If Edge goes back to WWE and says, look, they're offering me $5 million for a year, just match it and I'll stay. Or come close to it and I'll stay. You know, WWE is no longer majority owned by Vince McMahon. It is owned by TKO Group Holdings Incorporated. Do you remember before the merger completed, I said to everyone out there that the number one difference you're going to get is not visual. You see, it's business as usual because you want fans to feel like nothing's going to change, so there's no paranoia and there's no concern. But the one thing that was going to change is that personal attachment. The letters are still the same. A lot of the employees behind the scenes are still the same. But now there's someone else signing the checks. And the thing is, you go to TKO Group Holdings, Board of Directors, where WWE's not even a majority anymore. and you say, okay, Adam Copeland received an offer of $5 million from All Elite Wrestling, what do you guys think? And if they feel, for what? For 2-3 matches? We got John Cena. We could have Roman Reigns appear. The Rock could make an appearance from here. Why do we absolutely need Adam Copeland? Well, he's been here 27 years, and this isn't it. You think TKO Group Holdings give a shit? They care about the now. How much could Adam Copeland give us to warrant $5 million? That's what it comes down to. Adam Copeland is like an eBay auction. And Tony Khan, because he's not a publicly traded company, could spend 2, 3, 10 times the amount that Edge is even worth. Because, got to have him. I got to have Edge and Christian. Got to have Edge, Christian, and the Hardys. I got to have a, I'm going to, Bryan Danielson. There are people out there that feel that Bryan Danielson's career in AEW has surpassed anything he has ever done in WWE. I totally respect anybody that feels that way. That is your opinion. If it is a genuine opinion, I respect it. But you see, the fact that that's even crept in shows you that that's what they're going to plan to do. We're going to make Adam Copeland's latter years 10 times better than what they were in WWE. That's what it comes down to. Adam Copeland was given a lucrative offer from a billionaire that is not a publicly traded company. Now the question is, will Adam Copeland appear at WrestleDream? I give you something else to think about. This is the banner for WrestleDream. If you look right smack in the middle, the TNT Championship. This is not airing live on TNT. The TNT Championship is right smack in the middle. Christian Cage and Darby Allin. Well, we found out that reports are that Christian Cage, Darby Allin, are closing out WrestleDream. Think about that. You got New Japan, Inoki tribute show, and you're having Christian Cage and Darby Allin close it out. I don't know what their history is to Antonio Inoki or New Japan, but the thing is, why would you close 2 out of 3 falls, Christian Cage versus Darby Allin? A match that you probably would watch on Collision. A match that you would probably watch on Rampage. I absolutely expect this match to be pay-per-view quality. But why would you... Listen, you think Tony Khan wants to go out there and say, fuck you, everybody. Fuck you. Ain't no Adam Copeland coming here. And you just have Christian Cage and Darby Allin close out WrestleDream. If there's one criticism about AEW that I bring up, is that they're way too predictable at times. Way too predictable. When you see a hometown hero main event the Dynamite, especially if there's a title on the line or whatever, that person usually wins. You think back to Daniel Garcia, you think about the Darby Allin, you think about, he does that a lot. When you see certain matches, oh, four-way, the winner gets a shot at this person, and you look at it, you're like, oh, duh, we know that Tony Storm is going to take on Saraya. Duh, we know that this person is going to take on this person. Duh, you think that Roderick Strong is going to take on MJF at Arthur Ashe Stadium? So a lot of this is very, very predictable. But you know what? When it comes to AEW and their style, fans don't mind the predictability. Fans just want to make sure that when they open up the Cracker Jack box, that the toy surprise is inside. You don't want to open up the Cracker Jack box and be like, there's no surprise! Tony Khan's not going to troll his fans. You could almost, I'd say, I'd be shocked beyond belief if Adam Copeland does not appear Sunday night. He's not going to troll his fans. You know, on my shows, I feel that I am very, very fair on both sides. I will crack jokes on everybody, and I got one coming. Has to do with Jade Cargill. Not what you think, though. But I'm very fair. And, you know, I will criticize Tony Khan, but I will always praise Tony Khan. And one thing about Tony Khan is that the warm, loving feeling, you know, that's, he prefers that more than anything else. And right now on social media, you know what you got? You got a lot of fans that are excited. They're excited. We know that Adam Copeland could still go. We know that Edge could still go. There's not even a question there. They're excited of seeing, you know, almost like a fantasy match. You know, getting to see something that they didn't expect in AEW. And that's cool and everything. Then you got your over-the-top wackos on social media that are so desperate to get Tony Khan's attention. And it's almost like a child, that the child, once the child knows the child is going to get a donut or the child's going to, you know, get something later on, that suddenly like, oh, mom, do you want me to clean that? Oh, mom, you know, you look so beautiful today. You're the greatest mom in the world. Ma, look, I did the dishes and they weren't even dirty. Ma, you know, just sit back and fucking enjoy it like every other human being. It gets to a weirdness factor. It's like petulant children that they know. It's like that little kid in Family Guy. They're like this. You know, there's an excitement and then there's a weird excitement. And you see a lot of the weird excitement going on right now. So we will know tomorrow. Now, for people that were asking me, yes, I am still doing an episode of The Sit Down tomorrow night. October 1st, Sunday night, 8:05 p.m. Eastern. I am not watching Wrestle Dream Live. I will watch it during the week. Some matches I have no interest in seeing. Listen, if the pay-per-view is good, then I will watch the whole thing. But I am not dropping $50 to see it on Sunday night. But I'm going to still be live, and who knows? I mean, if the show ends early enough, we may end up in real time talking about the surprise that goes down with Adam Copeland. We will see what happens. So shout out to Chris Cutra. Chris Cutra just sent in $19.99. Maybe I'll buy half the pay-per-view. We'll see. Chris says, Edge has nothing left to do in the WWE. Agree. If they won't pay you what you want, someone else will, then you leave. That's how pro wrestling works. Thinking Edge and AEW taint his legacy means you don't think much of his legacy. That is an excellent point. For those out there that think that Adam Copeland is burning a bridge right now, remember, this is not your McMahon-owned WWE anymore. This is a corporation, TKO Group Holdings Incorporated. Vince still owns 16% of the stock. Nick Khan is the biggest name in line. You think Nick Khan, Edge burns a bridge with Nick Khan? No, it's business. You think Nick Khan would turn around and say, you know, oh, you know, you sign with them, eh, you know. Of course, WWE will remove him from the intro, which they have done. Of course, we'll probably see highlight videos in the future of other wrestlers, and they seem to be pinning Edge. You know, you see that. I mean, it's just normal business. But I promise you this, what Chris just said is spot on. He does not taint his legacy for leaving. And you know what's going to happen? If he debuts tomorrow night, you're going to see social media, pro wrestling world. When I say the pro wrestling world, I mean the wrestlers in the business, retired wrestlers. You're going to see wrestlers across the aisle, a boatload in WWE that are going to wish Adam Copeland well, that they're going to congratulate him, that they're going to wish him nothing but the best, because the pro wrestling world does look out for their fellow wrestlers. We talked about that many times before. We had to talk about it again about Jade Cargill. You get that weird environment online amongst certain wrestling fans. Look, if you're not excited about somebody signing someone, then just don't even pay attention to it. It's weird that some of the people that didn't think Jade Cargill deserved the hype that she got, they gave her more play than anybody else. I actually saw a few people, you know, writing 10 times about Jade Cargill. Somebody you just don't really give a shit about, but you write 10 times about it. They didn't want to be in on the conversation. But Edge, you'll see the pro wrestling world open their arms and give him a big virtual hug and wish him well in AEW. And you'll see some very, very upset WWE fans, you know, saying the opposite of what Chris said. Oh, he's burning bridges. He's going to ruin his legacy. He's gonna be brought down to a joke. Look what they did to Keith Lee. Look what they did. Shut up. Just shut up. That's my honest take on it. All right. Nero Faye. What's up, Nier? Thank you for the 6-spot, Nier. Much love to you. Hope you're doing well. Much love to everybody who is live. Austin, Josh, Boss Monster, Verse Pro, Easy Does It, and everybody else tuning in. By the way, thank you all for taking part in that poll for the watch parties. I went up against the Lakers. I went up against, the San Antonio Spurs and some others. And, you know, I've tried to up my thumbnail game just to make it look like I'm trying. You know, like anybody could just put a typeset on the things. I'm trying to, you know, and I do this all myself, so it's not easy. I'm still learning. But they were doing like a little like banner contest with the watch parties. We ended up getting 70% of the vote. That was awesome. And the funny thing is, for the first 12 hours of the poll, I didn't even think of asking anybody like, hey, you know, if you like what I do, vote. And I did, and we blew it out of the water, 70% of the votes. I think the next highest was like 15% for the Lakers. So much love. Things like that want to give me the incentive to keep going with this stuff. So thank you for that. I really appreciate it. So Wrestle Dream is tomorrow. We'll see what happens with Edge. I do expect him to debut. If you remember, I did not expect Mercedes Moné to debut, and she didn't. This, though, everything points to Adam Copeland making his debut. Now, Jade Cargill. Jade Cargill got play on SmackDown yesterday. There was quotes from Fox News and ESPN and Sports Illustrated. I think Michael Cole said she looks like a superhero. Jade Cargill, I understand. I'm the first to say it. She has a long ways to go to be WWE main event material as far as putting on a clinic. Still got a long ways to go. But from everything that we hear, she wants it. And she wants it bad. And she wants to leave that legacy as one of the greatest of this generation. WWE doesn't just see her as a pro wrestler. She's going to be doing movies. You know that she's going to Hollywood down the line. Maybe her WWE stint is 5 years, and then she moves on to bigger and better things. I don't know. But you understand the P word. That's potential. A lot of people said they have not seen WWE make a fuss like this in the free agent market in a long time. And that is true. I mean, they've had some press from Gable Steveson and others, but this is different. Because if she could build on what she already has, she could be up there with the Charlottes, the Bianca Belairs, and the Rhea Ripleys, and the Oscars, and the Io Skies, and the Baileys, and Sasha Banks. When she was there, she has a potential to be on that list. And when you see someone that tall, that in shape, that beautiful, and she's got no controversy or baggage attached to her, you know, how do you not see people that look at her? That's athlete. That is superhero athlete. Why would you not make a big deal about that? So I got a kick out of this. Her husband, Jade Cargill's husband, is Brandon Phillips. Anybody that's into baseball will know who he is. For those that don't know, he used to be a second baseman for the Cincinnati Reds. I think he, what was his number? Number 4, I think it might have been. I used to enjoy Brandon Phillips when he used to bat. I remember, I think he got into a fist fight years ago, got into a big baseball brawl with somebody. But Brandon Phillips was a good player when I used to see him. I mean, I don't know if he still plays or not, but he, to celebrate his wife's signing of WWE, Jay Cargill, I'm going to slow down the video so you could see it a little bit, you know, slower. He bought, look, that is a cake. That is a WWE belt. That is a ring, and he's got Raw, SmackDown, WrestleMania. You don't see the NXT logo. That's on the other side. All lights, countless numbers of balloons, flowers, look, candy, chocolate. Look at this. That is what he did for her celebration that she signed with WWE. I mean, I still admit, the room that I set up for when I asked my wife to marry me, I think mine was a little better still. But look at that. That's crazy. Do you realize how long that took to put? There must be 1,000 balloons. That is awesome. Now, I also have exclusive here footage of when Jay Cargill signed with AEW. And Brandon Phillips, you know, set up their room also to celebrate AEW. Now, unfortunately, it's not video. It's just a screenshot. But this is Brandon Phillips celebrating Jay Cargill signing. I'm joking. People online cannot take a fucking joke. Nobody wants to like the comparison, even though I got like 15. I got more nasty DMs than I got likes. It's just a joke. I put them side by side. If you do a Google search, just type in AEW bedroom, you'll see somebody sold that comforter on eBay. That's not really theirs, but you know, this is a big deal. They posted some screenshots of her working out in the WWE ring, taking it all in. It's a big deal. It's a big deal because there's a lot of potential that is there. Listen, is she going to be like my favorite must-see TV? I don't think so. I mean, you really got to do some over-the-top, you know, impressing me in the ring shit, you know, to do it. Right now for me in NXT, it's Ilya. It's Ilya Dragunov. It's not even close. You know, so, and a couple of years ago, it was Keith Lee in NXT. My times have changed. But good for her, man. Good for her. I don't understand the weird vibes online from that. So, okay. So let's move on a little bit. I definitely want to bring this up before we recap SmackDown. By now you all saw SmackDown. Everybody and their mothers covered it too. So I'm not going to get into it detail for detail like everyone else did. We'll talk briefly because I have a few things to say about SmackDown yesterday and where things could be going. Also, I got to explain to you what this is all about. Trish Stratus, she's got a bad girl tour. Say that fast 10 times. And that's more than just San Antonio, everyone. I will get into that because Trish Stratus will be touring the world, at least Canada, the UK, and the United States for the next 6 months. I'll give you the details in a little bit. But I want to talk about NXT press conference call, whatever you want to call it, with Shawn Michaels. And he was asked about the releases, commented about Mustafa Ali and Dana Brooke, that he felt like, you know, their passion, you know, was, you know, they reinvigorated their passion and they were turning a corner and this and that. And, you know, some of the surprises were very, very, you know, unexpected. But the topic of CM Punk was brought up. And he was asked if he would like CM Punk back in NXT. Now, if you remember Nick Khan was asked about CM Punk. Nick Khan gave a very Switzerland-like answer. Very, very neutral. Because the fact is, just because ProWrestlingSchmuck.com reports that CM Punk is not suing AEW does not mean that he's not suing AEW. I'm not saying that he is. All I'm saying is that when Nick Khan was asked that question, Nick Khan is not going to assume that he knows every little nook and cranny. Plus, I don't think Nick Khan talks to the other Nick in the pro wrestling world to say, hey, bud, you know, probably going to be asked about CM Punk. Hey, bud, you think CM Punk, can you find out if he's going to sue? Yo, thank you, bud. You think Nick Khan does that? No, Nick Khan ain't taking no fucking chances. That is what a professional billionaire, work of a billionaire publicly traded company does. And I'm not putting him on a pedestal. There's some things I don't like about Nick Khan. But he takes the safe route. So he just says, look, you know, we wish him well. And some people read too far into it. Oh, they want nothing to do with him. And then you get the, you know, the Meltzer remark, oh, you know, management, you know, it's not high in CM Punk, but, you know, WWE management, they gave nothing but love for Matt Riddle. That's not a knock on Matt Riddle, but why even bring that up? That's like saying my show is awesome because this guy blows. This guy sucks donkey, you know what. Just say somebody is treated well or, you know, without bringing up somebody else to put them down. So Nick Khan took the safe route. Shawn Michaels don't need to do that. Shawn Michaels is creative, working for NXT. So he was asked about, you know, what do you think about CM Punk coming back? Shawn Michaels' answer is, and I quote, word for word, would he welcome CM Punk back? Of course, we'd welcome him here in NXT. My guess is he would probably want to go to the main roster. I always enjoyed working with Phil. Didn't get to do much. I understood him. Whether you want to say there were similarities in us, I can't lie. We were at TV, and he once pulled out his wallet on the spot, an autograph that I had signed for him in a hotel that he still had. I've always liked him. I understand he's a different kind of cat and can sometimes be challenging to get along with people, but that is probably why I like him. Because I suffer from the same thing. Obviously, that's for people to decide higher up on the food chain than I am. He's a guy that does numbers and makes money. That would be a risk-reward ratio from a company standpoint they'd have to consider. When it comes to, quote, will we take him in NXT and have him on TV? Are you kidding me? Of course I would. I just don't think anybody would let me. Who wouldn't take that kind of star power? I don't know. If I get in trouble for that, I'll let you know. That pretty much sums up what a lot of you have been saying, what I've been saying, what a lot of people in the media world have been saying. You know, it's unfortunate that CM Punk did the stupid thing that he did and put his hands on Jack Perry. He should have just shut it, kept his mouth shut, listened to Tony Khan. Phil, please, Punk, please, I'll deal with Jack. Just go do your match. Please don't do anything. And he did it anyway. You don't write it off by saying, well, AEW is a clown show, so CM Punk, you know, pretty much, you know, when you are forced, you remember how I used to say, like, you have somebody who's a problem child, and if you don't discipline them, or if the child thinks that he or she could get away with shit, that child will continue to be a problem. But when they know that that child is in front of someone, that they're not going to get away with that shit, then suddenly they become no problem at all. You could even use that in the real world. You know, you see what happened in Philadelphia. You know, people are, you know, looting and breaking. I don't know if it's because the Phillies went into the playoffs or whatever, but you got people destroying stuff and everything. Those people walking by, they happened to see a salami on the floor, and they picked up a salami. They're ready to break a window, steal a purse. And then they happen to see that there's a cop standing right in front of the door. They'd be like, how you doing, officer? I'm just going to go play with my salami. You know, when you realize that you're involved with someone that ain't going to take your shit, chances are you ain't going to do shit. And that's really what it comes down to. You know, I brought up last week, and the week before, and the week before, CM Punk is such a toxic person, yet everybody's used him. And you hear Impact would love to have him in for a little while. They said, why? Why? Because he generates money. He generates publicity. And he does generate ratings to an extent. You know, for AEW was different, man, because like you all know already, for 13-plus months, you had people in AEW that matter and the media that they fawn over doing everything they could to diminish CM Punk's value in AEW. Toxic, problem, won't talk to people, doesn't get along with people, he's in it for himself, just the money and this and that. So if you feel that somebody in AEW is garbage, you know, you almost feel, and you know this is true, that there's a lot of fans out there that feel like, you know, that they've done a good deed. Hey, man. Hey, Tony. I just want to let you know. Or hey, Kenny. I just want to let you. Matt. Jeremy. Just want to let you know, I didn't watch Collision yesterday because CM Punk is main eventing. And you know what those people do? They might chuckle inside. CM Punk, he got a shit rating. But they're not going to publicly acknowledge you, commend you, and praise you. Oh, you did a good thing, son. You did a good thing. There's many other things you could do on a Saturday night. So I think CM Punk is coming. I think he's going to WWE. I think he's going to take on Seth Rollins at WrestleMania. Of course, that is just, you know, fantasy talking anything more than anything else. But I just got that vibe. I just got that vibe. You know, trust me, Tony Khan. Yeah, I just realized it. I just realized it. You know what I'm looking forward to? Seriously, you know I'm looking forward to more than if Adam Cole shows up at WrestleDream? I just realized it. The post-pay-per-view media scrum. When Adam Copeland is sitting at the desk and saying he's got unfinished business with few people in AEW and he thanks Tony Khan. And I just want to see this. I don't have a Tony Khan and I don't look like Adam Copeland, but this will have to do. I just got to see this. That hug. That hug, you think Edge is practicing with his wife? Honey, you're Tony. Hug me. Hug me like I'm a dog that ran away for 18 months and just showed up back at home. I think that's happening. So, okay, let's move on. Let's move on. It's amazing how many people get upset when I do things like that. All right, so don't forget, tonight we have NXT No Mercy. They did add the match that we had a feeling they were going to add, Kalani Jordan versus Blair Davenport. I almost said Blair McIntyre. Blair Davenport, I think it'll be pretty much a squash. That might even be the pre-show for all we know. But NXT No Mercy's tonight. They did a tremendous video theme for No Mercy tonight. It will play at the beginning of No Mercy if you didn't see it on social media yet. They actually recreated the WWE No Mercy video game from 2000. And it's got complete with the intro, welcome to NXT No Mercy. And you pick your wrestlers. You know, one thing I wanted to let everybody know, you know, not everybody realizes this, but that actually was done before with 205 Live. That happened before with 205 Live. I kid you not. We have some No Mercy themes online. But it's tremendous. It got me a little sad yesterday because when I started thinking about No Mercy, I remember we had wrestling-news.com at the time. I had already been doing my wrestling hotline for 3 years and we had to create a wrestler stuff like fantasy stuff on the website. So that just shows you like how old I am now that we're looking at No Mercy, you know, retro stuff. And I was already doing my hotline for 3 years. It's crazy, man. Crazy. But I am watching NXT No Mercy tonight. And the reason why I'm watching that over AEW this weekend is, number one, I'm not paying nothing. I have the Peacock subscription, so I'm going to watch it for nothing. By the way, I will tell you all this. Those that live in the United Kingdom, I don't have all the details. You could go to Meltzer's site because I think he's the one that broke it, so you got to give him credit for it. But apparently, if you can hold off from watching WrestleDream until Thursday, October 5th, you could watch it locally for free. I don't know if ITV, that might be the name of it. I think it's ITV. I don't have notes in front of me, but Thursday, October 5th, it is going to stream in the UK for nothing. So if any of you out there have that service, you can watch it for free. I don't know why they're doing that. I mean, that's a very generous thing to do, but a little surprising. But, you know, United Kingdom is not like a little tiny little blip on a map. There's a lot of people. So if you could wait, you could see it for free in a couple of days. All right. Before we get into a little SmackDown, a little Fastlane updates, let me give you this quickly for those that might be interested in this, because she is actually going to be coming to a lot of areas that are very well populated with big conventions. For those interested, Trish Stratus has announced the Bad Girl Tour, and it's presented by Prime Time Appearances. It is going to be a tour that is going to have dates in 2023 and 2024. And it's meet and greets, autograph sessions, and she's still playing off with the Thank You Trish stuff. So that's probably the reason why they turned Zoe Stark babyface as well, that she wants to keep this bad girl attitude. But I know there's enough of you out there that would love the opportunity to meet Trish Stratus. And I tell you the truth, I may actually get the opportunity because I'm supposed to go to the big event on November 11th. Not sure yet. I got to see what my schedule is like. But as of right now, I may go. The only reason that's stopping me is because Thanksgiving weekend, I will be going away for a few days. But for those interested that may want to meet Trish Stratus, here's her schedule. And actually, I think I have a thumbnail. I could put it right on the screen if anybody wants to pause. There you go. Actually, you know what's about this thumbnail? It doesn't tell you what actually the building is or the location. So let me read what I have for you. She'll be in San Antonio, Texas, October 7th and 8th at the Big Texas Comic Con. And you know what's cool about these places, everyone? These are big events where you probably would be going anyway to meet other people. So, you know, it's not like she's going to be at your local Target or your local Walmart selling some type of, like, energy drink. She's going to be at conventions. The Big Texas Comic Con, San Antonio, October 7th and the 8th. She'll be in Minneapolis, Minnesota for the Twin Cities Convention, November 4th and 5th. She'll be here in New York, November 11th at the big event. She'll be in Columbus, Ohio, December 2nd and December 3rd at the GalaxyCon Columbus. In 2024, she'll be at the Albuquerque Comic Con in Albuquerque, New Mexico, January 20th and 21st. She'll be in Stockton, California at the Stockton Con, February 24th and 25th. She'll be in Manchester, United Kingdom, on March 2nd and March 3rd for the event For the Love of Wrestling. She'll be in Richmond, Virginia, March 16th and 17th at the GalaxyCon in Richmond. April 13th and 14th, she'll be at the Huntsville Comic Expo in Huntsville, Alabama. And last on the schedule as of right now, she will be at the Comic-Con Revolution in Ontario, Canada, May 18th. And May 19th. So that is what's going on with Trish Stratus. So in-ring return, you know, not happening anytime soon. I expect WrestleMania weekend. And for those that are going to ask me, why is she not advertised for WrestleMania weekend? Remember, this is through a company, Primetime Appearances. If she appears WrestleMania weekend, it's not going to be part of this company that she signed with. this will be on behalf of WWE. So this is strictly autograph appearances, meet and greets through this company. So, all right. Let's talk briefly about Raw. Actually, you know what? I also want to just very quickly just rest in peace to Joyce Grable. Real name, Betty Wade Murphy. She died 70 years old, I believe, on Friday. She was just put in hospice. I mean, literally a couple of days ago. And she passed almost immediately after. Honestly, she was before my time. And she was before just about everybody's time out there as well. She wrestled from 1971, I believe, until the early 90s. And she was predominantly in the MWA. I think she worked a little bit in the AWA. So I know you have all heard the name, but probably never seen her work. She's in a few Hall of Fames, but, you know, definitely a big name. Back in the 70s, she teamed up with Wendi Richter for a little while. She's held multiple championships, so I just want to mention it because I know there's a lot of people out there that are not going to. So, okay, SmackDown. SmackDown yesterday, very quickly, just to get into it, a couple of the main points from yesterday. For me, as far as matches go, this kicked ass. We knew that the Street Profits were going to attack both guys. We were talking about it in a watch party. The only thing we were hoping was that the match didn't end in a no contest. We wanted a clear-cut winner. As the match went on, some people thought that Santos Escobar was going to turn heel. It was very interesting to see Zelina Vega's reaction during this match. If you look closely, it seemed like Zelina Vega was rooting more for Rey Mysterio. I don't know if that turns into a storyline in any way in the future, but if you actually go back and watch the second half of the match, clearly she was in the camp of Rey Mysterio. This match started very, very slow. You could see that it was very emotional for both guys. I mean, this was bucket list for Santos Escobar. They were in California, too. California, just like Texas, you know, they are a little bit more of a hotbed for Lucha Libre. And Rey Mysterio, I mean, Booyaka 619, you know, that's not an area code for Memphis, Tennessee. They were into this match. And I was very happy. I don't like commercial breaks. You have to expect them when you're watching SmackDown on Fox, mostly in the USA Network, unless they advertise commercial free. We had two commercial breaks during this match. They gave it enough time. And early on, the match was a little bit feeling out, if you want to be polite about it. It felt like it wasn't clicking early on, but then when it started to intensify, and you could feel that turning point when they started hitting, you know, a little bit more substantial moves, then it started picking up. That's when we got to the first commercial break, and it kind of killed a little bit of that building momentum, but they came back from commercial and just continued where they left off. I wish the commercials would have been pitcher and pitcher, and they were not. But they killed it. They killed it. This was, I wish this match was on pay-per-view. I wish it was on, I mean, we know why it was not on pay-per-view, because of what followed afterwards. Santos Escobar took Rey Mysterio to the limit. Rey, in very subtle ways, was pulling out moves, counters, that you rarely ever see. In the last 5+ years minimum. I mean, they really went out of their way. And Santos Escobar telling a really, really beautiful story. I mean, very frustrated. And Rey jawjacking with Santos, you know, if you want it, you got to take it off me. And it was a tremendous match. I'm not going to lie to you. Dominic Mysterio and Dragon Lee, I think, hit my strings a little bit more. Probably because we didn't expect the match to be as good as it was, but these two guys put on a clinic. In 7 days, We got Dominic and Dragon Lee and Ray and Santos Escobar with two memorable matches for 2023. Are they match of the year candidates? Probably not. In fact, I know they're not, but memorable matches that we'll look back on in 2023 and say, oh yeah, remember that night? Ray tried the 619 a few times. Santos caught him. There was a couple of points where I honestly thought Santos could get this title. And that's what kind of sucked about it. We knew in the back of our minds that the Street Profits were going to get involved, you know, because of something that happened a little bit earlier. But the good news is they did not get involved until after the match was over. Ray ultimately got to hit the 619 at the very end, climbed the rope, hit the frog splash, pinned Santos Escobar. Just really like Santos frustrated. And trust me, there was a moment where I think some people thought that Santos was going to lift Ray's arm in his victory and then nail him. But we didn't get a chance for that to happen. And it's not going to happen because it's going to segue into a different feud. Now, how did we get to the Street Profits laying out all members of the LWO? Well, earlier in the night, we had the Grayson Waller effect with Bobby Lashley. And as this began, I started getting the same vibes like I did with Miz and Drew McIntyre. You know, Drew McIntyre being a little bit heelish, but not warming up to the Miz. So Bobby Lashley is sitting there and Grayson Waller is giving him some praise and Bobby's not really saying much of anything. And before, you know, you could even blink an eye, Grayson Waller's talking about how the Street Profits lost last week. And Bobby Lashley, you know, a little bit too scripted. You know, I think I made a mistake, you know, in the Street Profits, and you might have to find, you know, like another team to represent and this and that. So as soon as Bobby Lashley starts complaining, you know, as far about the Street Profits, and, you know, if they want it, they got to show me something, the Street Profits music hits. They come out dressed in suits. And I thought we were going to get Bobby Lashley to say, like, what are you wearing my suits for? Didn't I tell you last week, you know, I'm going to go find someone else? But they're in Bobby Lashley's face, like, you know, what's up? Now, Michael Cole, with all due respect, you know, a little bit confusing here where, you know, Michael Cole did two things yesterday that kind of confused me. One had to do with Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits, and the other one had to do with the Bloodline. And I'll explain why in a little bit. But, you know, Street Profits, they showed earlier highlights where Angelo Dawkins, and as Michael Cole said, you know, reluctantly, you know, paused and didn't want to do, you know, what Bobby Lashley was telling him to do, which led to his loss last week. So anyway, they're in the face of Bobby Lashley, and Bobby Lashley tells him, you know, prove it. You want me, you know, representing you. You want to still be involved with me. Prove it. Do something. Do something. They did this early in the night. So as they're walking off, Austin Theory comes out. And for a brief moment, probably not because they were wearing suits, for a brief moment we thought, okay, maybe the Street Profits beat the balls off of Austin Theory and Grayson Waller. But the Street Profits weren't dressed to wrestle. Grayson Waller really wasn't dressed to wrestle. Austin Theory was. Then you look online and we learn that Austin Theory is taking on Cameron Grimes. And with all due respect to Cameron Grimes, I'm a fan. It ain't working. It is not working. The only way Cameron Grimes is going to get over on that main roster is if his personality is allowed to come out. He can't be this, you know, like clean cut, you know, like lovable, you root for him, you want to see him win, like, oh, I'm just happy to be on the main roster. That ain't going to cut it. There is nothing to make fans want to gravitate to Cameron Grimes. He lost to Austin Theory yesterday in about 3 minutes. Cameron Grimes needs to regrow the chest hair. He needs to regrow the facial hair thick, put on the top hat, be an asshole. Be an asshole. I know Austin Theory's an asshole, and so is Grayson Waller, but that's what made Cameron Grimes get over in NXT. If he wasn't so much of a rich asshole, the babyface term wouldn't have worked. He became a babyface in NXT because he was such an asshole. You can't assume the main roster followed Cameron Grimes throughout his NXT run. They didn't. Crowd doesn't care about Cameron Grimes. And I hope Cameron Grimes just does not become the male Xia Li that is just on randomly, loses matches, got a spot, thankful to be here. No matter what happens, not working. But we did not get the Street Profits attack Theory or Grayson Waller. Austin Theory comes out. He's got a match. He beats Cameron Grimes in 3 minutes. So now Bobby Lashley telling the Street Profits, you know, do something. Prove it to me. So you knew they were going to be beating the crap out of somebody on SmackDown. So after Santos Escobar and Rey Mysterio's match was over, the Street Profits come out and they start beating the shit out of Santos Escobar. The Cruz del Toro came out. It was funny. Social media thought that was Cruz del Toro getting his ass kicked by Jimmy Uso and Solo Sikoa earlier. They realized, no, that was not Zelina Vega. That was actually B-Fab. I was shocked. How many people online like, why is he attacking the LWO? And people like, yeah. I'm like, I don't remember Zelina Vega like having that kind of look. But people mistakenly mistaken Cruz del Toro for, that was funny, man. That was funny. But anyway, Street Profits come out. They destroy the LWO. The weird, sad thing about it was Ray went outside the ring and then he just disappeared. And they're attacking the LWO, Santos Escobar, and we're looking for Ray. Like, where did Ray go? Then they flash the camera and Ray is like tending to Santos Escobar. And later on in the night, Rey Mysterio and Santos Escobar challenge Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits to a match at Fastlane. We don't know what three members of the LWO. Would it be a handicap match? I don't know. Possibly. Could it end up being just the Street Profits versus Rey and Santos? That could be as well. But there's four members of the LWO, unless they just say that one is out with an injury, just like they did with Luke Gallows. So that match is not official as of yet, but it appears that match will become official. So one other thing I should note, during the match between Santos Escobar and Rey Mysterio, Dragon Lee was sitting at ringside, and I am 100% in agreement with all of you out there. Dragon Lee is ready. Bring his ass to the main roster. Don't have to do it all at the same time. But let him get used to it. The fans have already warmed up to Dragon Lee. After what he did with Dominic on Monday, he's made. He showed what he could do. And like I said on Monday, it's not a knock on NXT. But when you see Dragon Lee wrestle in NXT against certain people, the matches are like, all right. Then you see him wrestle somebody who is main roster quality already, then you see the difference. Yeah, like I saw people bringing up, oh, they make him job to Dominic Mysterio, but he fought Kenny Omega in AEW. You see the brief moments he had in AEW. He shined because he's fighting the top quality stars. You put him up against someone who is good, but still finding their way in NXT as a rookie, you're going to get a less than stellar match. You know, it's like Dancing with the Stars. You know, like the dancer, their goal is to bring, you know, the celebrity, you know, to be able to dance a little bit. But if the celebrity's paired up with an NXT dancer that is just breaking in, you know, you're not going to get a very good quality dance out of it. So Dragon Lee is ready. He is ready. He's on the fast track to the main roster. And next week on SmackDown, we are getting Dragon Lee versus Austin Theory. And that's going to be tremendous. And in fact, you know what I would do? I would have Dragon Lee work main roster and NXT. Do a little bit of what Dominic Mysterio is doing. I think ultimately Dragon Lee is going to win that NXT North American Championship. Once WWE feels that they could take a title off of a Judgment Day member, the first one to go is Dominic Mysterio. But remember my crazy little ridiculous scenario on Monday where the Judgment Day could give a pair of those tag titles to Dominic and JD McDonagh, which I don't expect happening. But if Piper Niven could just grab a title and be labeled and recognized as champion, I could see WWE doing something stupid like that as well. Also next week on SmackDown, we got, speaking of the Judgment Day, they are going to reappear. I don't know if this is going to set up a match for Fastlane. I don't think so. I have a feeling this may lead to a match main eventing the following week, SmackDown. That's what this kind of feels like to me. So we'll wait and see what happens there. Now, another match that went on yesterday that had a little bit of comedy attached to it was Charlotte Flair versus Bayley. Charlotte Flair teasing to Bayley that, you know, what happened to you? Used to be you're a full horsewoman. Now you're becoming a stepping stone and, like an afterthought, Io Sky's championship. Like, she's just on the sidelines. And Bayley, you know, she doesn't know what Charlotte is talking about, but the idea is that Charlotte is trying to piss off Bayley, getting in her head a little bit. So they have a match on SmackDown. By the way, for audio only, if you hear a pause, just because I'm drinking a little coffee. Charlotte and Bayley. Fun little match. Should have gone a little bit longer. No Shotzi Blackheart interference this time. I am starting to feel like this Shotzi Bayley storyline is going to slowly dissipate without, you know, real clear, concise, you know, finish to it. But they have a decent match. Io Sky and Dakota Kai are at ringside. And Charlotte Flair, before the match started, gets on the mic and says after she beats Bayley, she's going for Io Sky's championship at Fastlane. And yes, social media is in uproar. Oh, they're giving Charlotte another title shot. Yeah, because she is a good quality, you know, main event wrestler in the women's division. I don't see her winning the championship at Fastlane. But if we're going to get a better match because of her involvement, I could see if she stunk up the joint. At least it's not Nia Jax for some of you out there. But Charlotte Flair has the match with Bayley. She ends up beating Bayley, and Io Sky is, she looks a little concerned. You know, Bayley is a little disappointed that she lost, and Charlotte is George Akin teasing Io Sky she could take a championship at Fastlane. And before anything happens, Asuka comes down to the ring. And here is where dopiness sets in. Look at Dakota Kai's face in this picture, and that says it all. Dakota Kai is like, huh? What the fuck are you talking about? Io Sky, she's just looking like, you know, me not understand what Bayley say. But what the reason behind this picture is Asuka hits the ring and makes the save because Bayley and Io Sky were putting the boots to Charlotte. Dakota Kai still got a ways away from getting physical in the ring. You got to be careful with her. Still recovering from the knee. So Bayley and Io Sky are dropping the boots to Charlotte. Asuka makes the save. And as you realize now, Asuka is slowly back to full-fledged babyface because the full-fledged heel was not working. Fans just like her too much. She goes to the ring. And even I don't understand Japanese all that much. And Oscar's basically challenging damage control, you two versus us two, right now. Now, if Charlotte and Bayley would have had a one-minute match instead of a six-minute match, we probably would have went to commercial, come back, and have the tag match. But instead, Asuka's challenging Bayley two-on-two. Bayley looks at her, and because Asuka's talking a little bit Japanese, Bayley thinks that Asuka is trying to add herself to the match at Fastlane. And Bayley looks at her and is like, you want to be added to the match at Fastlane? You want to make this into a triple threat? Well, you know what? You're on. And as much as I like the damage control storyline and ultimately Bayley and Io Sky having a falling out, I think Dakota Kai stays with Io Sky after all this goes down. It just didn't make sense yesterday. Like, why would Bayley be so incensed at Asuka that she would give Asuka what she asked for and put her in the match? So Bayley's like, you want to be in a match? You're on. And as far as I know, Asuka didn't even say that. Bayley misunderstood. But even if she did misunderstand, why would you do that? So Dakota Kai is looking at Bayley like, the fuck you doing? And then Io Sky afterwards, no, she no say that. No, Bayley, she no say that. What you do? What you do? It was pretty funny. It was a funny segment. It was a stupid segment because why would you put her in a match? So now it's a three-way at Fastlane. So this leaves us to John Cena. And the story with John Cena on SmackDown, it was pretty funny because John Cena, Jimmy Uso and Solo Sikoa opened the show with Paul Heyman. And, you know, as we said last week, Roman Reigns will be back in 2 weeks. And we were right. But the thing is, and here's where it gets a little confusing. If you look at the graphics on the screen, it says John Cena to answer the bloodline. And all the graphics say John Cena, bloodline, John Cena, bloodline. But if you listen to Michael Cole, to audibly keep that seed out there, keeps saying, is Jimmy Uso back in the bloodline? Is Jimmy Uso back in the bloodline? They're showing graphics of Jimmy Uso and Solo Sikoa as the bloodline. It says the bloodline. But then when you listen to Michael Cole, he's got to audibly keep that seed going because remember the storyline, everyone. Roman Reigns is going to come back a week after Fastlane, a week after Jimmy Uso and Solo Sikoa lose. And all points are directed where Roman Reigns is going to look at Jimmy Uso and said, who said you were back in the bloodline? What's he doing here? As if Roman Reigns don't watch TV. As if call Roman Reigns. Wise man, why is he in the ring with you? Wise man, why does he keep saying bloodline? Wise man, Roman Reigns is going to come back and he's going to be as if he was hanging out with Rip Van Winkle, whatever the fuck this guy's name, and they were sleeping under a tree. They were sleeping under a tree the last couple of months and woke up. What's he doing here? That's where this is going to go. So they opened up the show yesterday, and as Jimmy Uso keeps doing, this was the second or third time now, Paul Heyman, ladies and gentlemen, acknowledge your tribal chief. And then Jimmy Uso rips the microphone out of Paul Heyman's hand. Paul Heyman is not happy. Jimmy Uso is like, you know, the bloodline is in your city. And they're mocking John Cena because it's going to be a handicap match at Fastlane. And what Solo Sikoa and Jimmy Uso decide to do is they decide that they're going to just start randomly beating up people in the back so they cannot be John Cena's partner at Fastlane. Yeet. So they go in the back. They're beating up wrestlers. They're beating up security guards. And all throughout the night. And at one point early on, it led to a match. And to match, you know, it was what it was, but when they first cut their promo throwing shade at John Cena, now John Cena was not there yet because his plane was delayed. And it was so funny, they put a graphic on the screen halfway through the show. The GOAT has arrived. And they did almost like John Cena shows up in the parking lot. He can't just drive up like any other normal person. He's got to like spin the tires and do 360, you know, like turn the corner and whip it, you know, like Fast and the Furious type deal. He shows up and John Cena, he's got a contract in his hand. But before that all happens later on in the night, when Jimmy Uso and Solo Sikoa cut their opening promo, Carl Anderson comes out and he's trying to give a receipt for what happened to AJ Styles the week before. So, you know, we saw it right away. He nails Jimmy and Solo. They get knocked out of the ring. Solo Sikoa looks at Jimmy Uso and says, "You better do something about this before I finish it." And Jimmy Uso, reluctantly, he gets in the ring, has a match with Carl Anderson, beats him in about 3 or 4 minutes. You know, just your average opening SmackDown match. After the match is over, a little more beatdown. And as they're walking up the ramp, here comes Meechan. And she looks at Jimmy Uso, she looks at Solo Sikoa, and she goes, whack! Smacks Jimmy Uso right in the face. And why we saw that in the watch party, we all thought Solo Sikoa was going to bust out laughing. Like, you got what you deserved. But she smacks Jimmy Uso in the face, and Jimmy Uso is selling it big. Solo Sikoa is just looking at Jimmy like, you know, he doesn't react. He just stoic, looking at him, just staring. And Meechan goes to the ring to check on Carl Anderson, and we go to commercial. But very, very funny seeing them during the night just beating up people. You're not going to be John Cena's partner. Yeet. And then we get the finish. John Cena comes out later on, contract in hand, and he says to the WWE Universe, he's like, you know, we can handle this a couple of different ways. You know, I could tear this up like it never happened, but you're looking at a guy that has a hat on that says never give up. Do you think I'm going to do that? John Cena going a little old school, not just with the promo, but the reaction afterwards. John Cena talking about never giving up, and if he has to, if you know he has no partner at Fastlane, he will take on the Bloodline one on two. And here comes Jimmy Uso and Solo Sikoa once again. They're walking down the ring. Jimmy Uso's got the mic. John, you don't learn. This is that, blah, 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 blah. You know, I could even make it to Fastlane. Now you're looking at the time, and it's about 9:55, and SmackDown usually goes off the air about 2 minutes before 10. So whatever's going down is going down in the next 3 minutes. So they're starting to beat down John Cena. And I was very happy this week we did not get the Rocky, Rocky, Rocky. That was the double-edged sword by bringing Rock to SmackDown 2 weeks ago. Because now people think Rock is going to stick around for a while, and that ain't happening. So this time around, they're beating down John Cena. No chance for anybody. I think they were chanting for Cena. And, you know, they're beating down Cena, and they're about to put him to the table on the outside. And then what we all expected, you hear L.A. Knight, and the crowd went bananas. He runs down to the ring. Obviously, you could see right away, completely recovered from COVID, and he's getting the upper hand. He lays out Solo Sikoa. He lays out Jimmy Uso. John Cena drops Jimmy Uso as well, and then LA Knight looks at the contract. And I agree with everybody that said this yesterday, and this is one of the things that was said yesterday by a lot of people, enough where I kept seeing it come up over and over again, and I agree. This had so much of an old school vibe to it because it did happen in the past. There were a couple of times in the past where Steve Austin just picked up a contract, signed it unexpectedly and left at least once or twice. It felt very old school yesterday. But it was funny because LA Knight picks up the contract, signs his name, and then he gives it to John Cena. And if you are a veteran fan watching John Cena over the years, one of the things with John Cena that we always laughed at, thought it was stupid, corny, or whatever, is his over-the-top surprised reactions. And when LA Knight gave him the contract, John Cena's got his mouth open like he just won the lottery. John Cena's got this look. And John Cena, he not only has the look of shock on his face. I got to take my glasses off so I don't break it. But he's got his mouth open like, and then he's like, funny, man. Over the top, goofy, corny. But LA Knight is now John Cena's partner for Fastlane. Good that he recovered quickly, showed no signs. I will say this, though. We did notice towards the end of SmackDown, right before he signed the contract, he dropped Jimmy Uso. And if you watched it closely, you know, one thing that we've said about LA Knight, this is not criticism on LA Knight, but it's something we have all observed. LA Knight is not used to being in this high-profile position. Confidence? Yes. Maybe he predicted it, thought it was going to happen? Yeah, maybe. But that doesn't take away the fact that this quick, you know, boom, 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 boom. You know, you look at LA Knight's career, there's not many moments where he would make a save like this and like, boom, offense, 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 or like, boom, 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 nonstop. He picked up Jimmy Uso yesterday and dropped him. And he almost dropped him on his head, on his neck. You go back and you watch the clip yesterday at the very end in the middle of the ring, you'll see it. And Jimmy's fine. But when you see it, you'd be like, you'll have that look on your face like, you know, like he's got to get used to that make the save rapid offense, especially when you're doing moves like that. You know, like punching people is fine. Clotheslining someone over the top rope is fine. But when you're dropping people and dumping them, suplex or whatever, you're doing it so fast, you got to, you know, be careful because you see something like that a little bit. You know, he's not been in this position, you know, maybe never this high level. So, you know, they got to be a little bit careful. And it's not, again, it's not a criticism on LA Knight, but it's definitely something that, you know, you got to be like, ooh, you know, easy, 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 cowboy. Relax, you know, you could go a little slower. Easier said than done from us watching. But so the contract is signed. And as of right now, we still only have 3 matches for Fastlane. Probably 4 with the LWO versus the Street Profits and Bobby Lashley. We just got to find out. You know what I would do, guys? You know what I would do? I would have Santos Escobar, Rey Mysterio, and Dragon Lee versus the Street Profits and Bobby Lashley. Maybe next week they do something where the Legado del Fantasma is injured and they can't compete at Fastlane, and Dragon Lee steps up. That would be a fucking nice rub for Dragon Lee. What do you all think about that? Dragon Lee, Rey Mysterio? Would you put Dragon Lee as an honorary member of the LWO? Give him a shirt. Seriously, I just thought about that. They should give Dragon Lee a shirt. You familiar? Put him in, whether a permanent member or honorary member. Have Dragon Lee. I think people would love to see that. Street Profits and Bobby Lashley versus Dragon Lee, Rey Mysterio, and Santos Escobar. That's what I would do. That's what I would do. Okay. So right now, outside of that match, which is not official as of yet, we got Seth Rollins versus Shinsuke Nakamura, last man standing match. I have to say it slowly like Shinsuke did. That is for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. We have John Cena teaming up with LA Knight, taking on Solo Sikoa and Jimmy Uso. And we have Io Sky defending the WWE Women's Championship against Asuka and Charlotte Flair. I mean, again, for those criticizing that Charlotte's getting another title match, can you get any better than that? Look at the three people in that match. We're going to get high quality, top-notch wrestling. And I think at the end of the day, I think that's what everybody wants. And I'm, as of right now, I do not think Charlotte Flair is going to win the championship. All right. Very quickly, Rampage results from yesterday. Here they are. And somebody asked me the identity of the team that took on the Righteous. I caught a screenshot for anybody that wanted it. We had Eddie Kingston retain the New Japan Pro Wrestling Strong Openweight Championship over Rocky Romero. The Acclaimed and Daddy Ass retained the Trios titles, beating the Hardys and Brother Zay. Hikaru Shida beat Ruby Soho, so Hikaru Shida will face Saraya on the, I think a lot of people don't even realize it yet, the 10-10 Title Tuesday edition of Dynamite. Dynamite in 2 weeks will be on a Tuesday instead of a Wednesday. So, surprise nobody is teasing yet the head-to-head NXT versus AEW. That's going to be an interesting night, especially how NXT's gone up a little bit. 10-10. Get used to it. Saraya will be taking on her Hikaru Shida that night. And the Righteous beat, and here is the tag team, Caleb Crush and Gunnar. Not that Gunnar. Caleb Crush and Gunnar. They lost to the Righteous. So that was your Rampage from yesterday. Collision. Interesting night for Collision. Remember, this is the night before Wrestle Dream. So we have tonight Andrade taking on Juice Robinson. We got an 8-man tag of Brian Danielson, Wheeler Yuta, and FTR. They will be taking on Aussie Open, Ricky Starks, and Big Bill. And then a match that was announced late, which is pretty interesting. The Gates of Agony taking on the team of Chris Jericho and Kenny Omega. A lot of people aren't used to Jericho and Omega teaming up. But if people remember, I still can't remember the name of that promotion. But I still remember the Talk is Jericho episode with Kenny Omega and I think Don Callis from, what is it, 10 years ago? It's a long time ago now, where they were going to financially get involved with some Money Marks promotion. And I think like they showed up and it was in a warehouse or something like that. There's a weird, wild story to it. But Chris Jericho and Kenny Omega were going to financially get involved. And no, it was not Tony Khan's basement. It's an interesting story. I haven't looked into it in years, but Jericho and Omega have a very long history together. And them teaming up right now, they're having fun. They're having fun. So, all right. I think we are done. I'm looking at my notes. I'm checking them twice. Yeah, we are done. We are done. We got this done in a little under 2 hours today. So, again, just to close things out, don't forget, if you are not watching Wrestle Dream live tomorrow, I will be live at 8:05 for the sit-down. And all topics are on the table. So if you want to be part of the show, just show up live, show up in the chat room. We'll talk about whatever you want to talk about. That is tomorrow. And then this Tuesday, Kev and I will be back together once again for your Fastlane preview and predictions. That will air live online at 10:05 on Patreon, and it'll be on DonTony.com Wednesday morning. And if you didn't check it out, I didn't release it until Thursday morning. I was a little under the weather Wednesday night, so I couldn't finish it until the wee hours of Thursday morning. But check out Thursday's edition of Wednesday Night Dynamite. We got into some really good discussion. And, yeah, as we said earlier, the crowd attendance stands at 72,265. You got to feel a little bit for Will Ospreay for that tattoo. But, hey, it reminds me of like a bad Seinfeld episode. You know, if you really think about it, remember the Seinfeld episode? Didn't somebody get something tattooed and the spelling was wrong? You know, like, he's got the wrong tattoo. You look back at it 5-10 years. Remember the time where they announced the wrong number for AEW All In? So, yeah, you kind of probably should have waited until it was official. You know, the more I think about it, you kind of blame Will Ospreay. So why would you just take Tony Khan's word as gospel? Especially when Tony Khan is a little bit overexcited, is more of a wrestling fan than actually getting the official number. But, yeah, some people in the chat say they don't feel bad for Will Ospreay. It's funny. It's a funny little story. Trust me. I think Will Ospreay, honestly, if Will Ospreay was at WrestleCon and I got to meet him and I got to take a picture with him, I think anybody out there that's tuning in right now, if you ever get the opportunity to get a picture with Will Ospreay, you know what you got to do. You have to tell him, Will, do me a favor. Do it with the tattoo. Like, you got to show him like this. Maybe have him put you in a headlock. You know, like, put you in a headlock like this. And she shows the tattoo in the camera. He'll probably make money off of that. See, I'm going to do a meet and greet. Anybody want to take pictures with me and my tattoo? Show up. I think I'll make money. All right, guys. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. If you're checking out NXT No Mercy tonight, enjoy it. I will be checking it out. A few people asked about doing a watch party for No Mercy. We can't air premium live events on a watch party. But some of you are asking about an AEW watch party. I will tell you right now, if Edge, Adam Copeland, does appear at WrestleDream Sunday night, and they announce that he is going to appear on Wednesday's Dynamite, I may do a watch party so we could all hang out and talk about Dynamite as it goes down. I'm not sure yet, but we have Monday's show and even Tuesday's DTKC show to announce it. So the watch party, if we do AEW, maybe the following week might be a little bit better so we could hype it up a little bit. But, you know, I'll definitely let everybody know. But if there's enough demand for it, we'll squeeze it in somehow. So, all right, enjoy the rest of your weekend. Let's see what transpires this weekend. A lot of shit going down. Pretty fun time to be a wrestling fan.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.